Sermons from the Journey is an audio podcast of the weekly message preached by Reverend Rebecca Clark, pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Montpelier, Vermont, and blogging online at pastorbecca.com. Thanks for listening.
This Monday was holiday. It was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and the kids had off from school. And so I decided that that would be a great time to restart a project of ours that's been lying dormant for the past 6 months or so. We used to own goldfish. And there was an unfortunate incident when we got a couple of new goldfish and changed the water, and all of them, including the existing goldfish, didn't like that and expressed their outrage by going belly up, and so we did not have goldfish. And I kept bringing my water to Petco and having them tested, and they kept telling me there were all these things wrong with it, and I put treatments in it, and I put all, and finally I just let it go for a while, like with the pump running, with the filter running, just to try to get the water set. And I would occasionally go in and give them a water sample, and they'd say, still not good, still not good. And so on Monday I brought a water sample in, and they said, oh, your water's good, you can have fish. Like, all right. So we got goldfish. And on Wednesday, we went back and got replacement goldfish. Because those goldfish didn't make it. And right now, of the two goldfish that we got on Wednesday, one of them is looking pretty bad. The other one is already gone. How hard is it to keep goldfish alive? I thought these were supposed to be the simplest pets. The ones that expressed their outrage over the summer when I apparently changed too much water at once, which is a whole other sermon I could preach about. It was good, healthy change, giving them fresh, clean water, but it was too much change at once and it killed them. But that would preach another time. But, you know, those, we got them, we put them in the tank, it was fine. It, you know, these fish, one of them lived for years. And I can't keep a fish alive for more than 2 or 3 days now. And I don't understand what's going on. These are supposed to be easy pets. They're the pets that you start your kids out on, you know, before you get a cat, like I have now. The cat, fortunately, is pretty vocal about, like, if there's something wrong. And so I think that's why they're easier, actually, to keep alive than goldfish. There's something fishy going on around here. David Hunter isn't even here to appreciate that pun. Come on, that's awful. There are some things that seem like they should be really easy, really straightforward and simple. And we enter into them with relative enthusiasm because it sounds like it's going to be great. It sounds like it's going to be easy. And then we realize that there's more complexity involved. The situation is more nuanced than we realized at first. I'm told that goldfish have very, very sensitive temperaments, and you can't put them through too much stress in their lives, and you have to leave the light off while they're acclimating, and you have to this and that, and, you know, these water treatments and conditioners. It's a racket, I'm telling you. There's a goldfish racket out there. But I'm told that they are more nuanced creatures than I realized or appreciated. Jesus calls the disciples. God calls us to fish for people. Now, these first disciples, fish! That's what they do. They fish for a living. How hard can it be to fish for people then? It's what they're used to doing. It sounds like it would be very easy. And in some stories of the early church, particularly out of the book of Acts, we hear about people, they go out, they talk about their faith in Jesus, and thousands upon thousands of people come flocking to hear the message, just like thousands upon thousands of people came flocking to hear this brilliant message this morning. And people are saved, and their lives are transformed, and it looks pretty easy. And then we get together and we talk about how do we share the good news of what God is doing in our lives and in the life of this church community and in the life of this larger community. How do we do that? That should be easy. That seems like it should be the easiest thing in the world. And yet somehow, it's so much more nuanced, more sensitive, more complex, more challenging than we realized when we started. I've noticed this about myself. So I draw this comparison because I think, you know, when I think about talking about my faith in God or talking about what God means to me, which, you know, I'm comfortable doing when it's in a setting where that's what's expected. You're expecting me to talk about God and faith and things like that here. But talking to somebody else, you know, out there about God and my faith and what it means to me, when I think about that, I think that should be easy because it's so important to me. God is so important to me. My faith is so important to me. There are stories I can tell. There are moments in my life that are so powerful that how am I not just bursting at the seams to share them? But what I've noticed about myself sometimes is that those are the things that are hardest to talk about. It's easy to tell a kind of more surface level story about someone you love that's kind of funny or humorous, get people laughing about, you know, your kids' crazy antics. I've got some stories like that, right? Usually use them as icebreakers at the beginning of the sermon, get people laughing and interested, right? But to talk deeply about something so sacred to you, so intimate and personal, I know that for a lot of things, I get a little clammed up because it's so deep and it's so personal. If somebody else didn't share my love and my joy and my passion for that, that I might feel rejected or might feel that it's uncomfortable. It's a little too much information, a little bit TMI. I've shared too much. I've put too much of myself out there and I feel vulnerable or exposed. I don't know. Maybe that plays into it somehow, maybe not, but it seems that somehow when I set out thinking I can talk to people about my passion for God, I find that I would much rather kind of shuffle my feet and stand in a corner. It's like I'm back at a middle school dance or something, and I get all shy and tongue-tied, and I'm not quite sure what that's about. It's harder than we imagine when we set out. Maybe not as hard as keeping goldfish alive, but it's harder than we imagine when we set out. We think that it would be easy to welcome other people into our space, to invite people to come and to see what we're about and to welcome folks in our space, but are they interested in what we have to share? And then people get here, we realize that sometimes we have an insider language that we're not aware of, or we all know what to expect next, and we're not necessarily thinking about the place with outside eyes, or we have stuff that we deal with that's internal, and we get focused on that and aren't, perhaps. It's harder. It's harder than we imagine when we set out. We think it would be easy, sounds easy, to go meet people where they are. That's what they always say about the big scary E word evangelism. You have to go out and meet people where they are. If you're going to fish, you have to go where the fish are. If you're going to fish for people, if you're going to invite people into a life of discipleship with Christ, we need to be where people are. But that's more challenging and nuanced and complex than we realize, because people are all over the place. And we're not quite sure where to begin or what's the right way to approach someone in what space. It's like those elusive, sensitive, temperamented goldfish. It's more complex. And it occurs to me that that's true of the Christian life as a whole. Loving, being loving. That should be the easiest thing in the world. It's not. It's complicated. It's complex. Forgiving others and forgiving ourselves. That sounds really good. We can jump into that with a lot of excitement and then discover that that's about the toughest thing there can be. Living in the world as those who have hope. Bearing witness to our hope, the faith and hope that we have in the face of the devastation and destruction and violence and negativity in the world. We have a deep hope. That should be easy to live that out and to show it. It's complex. It's more difficult than we realized at first. Seeking justice, being justice seekers and builders. That's like good, solid gospel stuff. I love it. And it's so complex and so overwhelming that it's hard to know where to begin. Making peace. Making peace. Has there ever been anything more complex and challenging than making peace? Loving God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength and our neighbor as ourselves. We're going to boil everything down and make it real simple. If
very challenging. Believing we are loved by God. If we could just start with that. Shouldn't that be easy? All of it is harder than it looks like at first. All of it is more challenging than when first we set out. It turns out that living the Christian life, living a life transformed by God's grace, is more nuanced and complex and subtle and has to do with our context, our circumstances, our lives, and then the lives of the people all around us. When we think about the interlocking circles of people's experiences we're navigating every day, we start to understand that it's not so simple. It's a lot more complicated even than trying to figure out what's going on in a goldfish's body and life cycle and the water and its chemicals and then pH and nitrate levels and temperatures. We are swimming in a sea filled with all of this complexity. And it is more difficult than we imagined at first. Now, lest you think I'm saying that the church is a bunch of dead fish, there's more to the story. Because I got wound a little bit tight into this metaphor, and I was starting to worry. I was starting to wonder, where is the hope? Where is the grace? Great, the message I have for you today is welcome to the Christian life. Welcome to the life of discipleship. It's hard. So I did what's actually a pretty good idea. I kind of did it by accident, but it's a good idea. I looked at the passage again. And I noticed something. We love this metaphor about fishing. The guys are out fishing. James and John. Peter, or Simon, called Peter. His brother and Andrew, and they're on, you know, they're fishing. And then Jesus plays on that and says, we're going to fish for people. Great. You know, it's a good metaphor. It makes for good visuals. We understand it. We can get it. Just before he says that, he says something else. And if you get too focused on the fish, and I've been a little focused on the fish this week, if you get too focused on the fish, we miss what he says right before that. Because that's the second half of the sentence. The first half of the sentence, comma, and I will teach you to fish for people, or however we want to translate that. What does he say first? Come follow me. Come with me, and I will teach you to fish for people. Jesus doesn't say, welcome to the life of fishing for people, good luck, it's challenging. Godspeed. Jesus doesn't say, go do this and figure it out as you go. Jesus says, come follow me and I will teach you. I will transform you. I will go with you in this journey. Jesus doesn't invite just one person at a time. I think that's also very interesting. The people that are being invited in pairs, in groups. They're being invited with other members of their family. Not everyone wants to come. That's okay. Maybe old man Zebedee just wasn't in the mood today or was a little bit too wrapped into what he was doing. And that happens. But these pairs of brothers come and see. They invite, in other stories we hear about them, inviting, telling others to come and see. So Jesus doesn't call folks in isolation, but in community, in family. And he calls them to come and follow. Come follow me, and together we'll go fishing for people. We're not invited into a solo journey where we have to figure out on our own how to sink or swim, how to keep the goldfish afloat or not, how to live the Christian life with authenticity and honesty and truth in ourselves and then sharing that with the world. We don't have to do that alone. We are called into relationship with Christ. And we are called into relationship with God as creator and with God as spirit. And we are called together in relationship to one another. We are always with God and with each other on this journey. Before we enter into the complexity of what it might mean to share our faith in the world, to live as those transformed by God's presence in our lives in the world, we are called into relationship with Christ, with one another. It is harder than it looks, but we are never alone. It is Christ who calls us first. All of you, all of you, family, all of you, community, together, come with me. Come follow me. And together, we will live this journey. Amen.